we're starting out in the 101 book. Psalm number 2.
Thank you. Good to see everybody here this morning at Grace Street Baptist Church. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for a great day. We're thankful for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for the Word of God, and that we have it, and we know we have it. We pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts today. Be with Brother Renzi as he teaches and preaches your Word, that he will be faithful in sharing with us what your Word says, and not his own thoughts. We thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for our fellowship that we can have one with another. We pray that you will be honored and glorified by all that's done. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Not much as far as announcements in this service. Don't forget about our various offering baskets and boxes back there. And the Lord has been really blessing us with our offerings, and we're thankful to him for what he's been doing for us. And we'll keep praying that he'll help us during our time until he provides us with a new pastor. So we'll keep praying about that. See what the Lord does. Okay, now we're going to move on to the chorus book, number 65 in our chorus book. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. 65. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll take just a moment in case anybody would like to say verse 12, but otherwise we'll move on to verse 13 here. That's our new one for this week. Ephesians chapter 6. Do we have a volunteer or two who would like to say verse 12? Go ahead. That was just the memory verse for this week. If you want to do 10, 11, and 12, I guess.
I thought we were making 13. But
not yet. We're starting today. Go ahead. But note it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, not part of it, or just a little bit of it. This is the same thing as what Paul said back in the previous chapter in verse 18, be filled with Spirit. In other words, your life needs to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit, and obviously, as we understand, the armor of God is the Word of God. So it needs to be put under complete control of the Spirit of God. All right, so let's say it together. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right, pretty good. Why don't we say it one more time to give Brother Renzi time to put his microphone on. That's all right, no big deal. Let's say it together again. Ephesians 6, 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right, pretty good.
I'm teasing. That song that we just sang, I'm in right out, right up, right down, right.
Happy all the time.
I used to do that when I was running like our children's ministry, and I would always try to do it real fast. Anybody ever experienced that or no? We see how fast. Do you do it too? You just don't want to do it with this group, right? With all the arthritis and everything, it's like, you know. Yeah. Because I hold the record for being the fastest so far. But then I came up with my own version, because we would do a lot of the bus kids and stuff. And I came up with this one. It was, I might go fast, I might go slow. What I'm going to do, you don't know. And I would like, you know, kind of do, in, right, out, right. And then I would act like that, and the kids would go up, right. And I'd be like, nah, I didn't do it yet, you know. And just kind of, and I was going to run you through that this morning, but we'll probably get all out of breath and everything. But oh, if you have a Bible, would you turn to Matthew chapter number 6? It's a beautiful day out this morning, I'll tell you. And then singing those beautiful songs about heaven, it's like, wow, you know. You're thinking of not only that's the place where we're going, but that's the place where some of our loved ones are already there. Amen. Amen. And I remember hearing a song, I don't know, Brother Jason, you might have heard this one, I Wish You Were Here. Wish You Were Here. That's a great hymn or a great song about somebody, a loved one who's already gone to be with the Lord, and they're in heaven saying, you have no idea how beautiful it is here. Amen. And so we thank God we have a hope, a great hope. Amen. That's good to know, especially as you get older and older. Amen. It's good to know, amen, that this life is not the end of it. Amen. Death is a doorway that leads to eternity. Amen. In fact, you and I that are saved, we go through the right door to eternity. And that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we thank God. We have a hope. And that's the wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen. Well, we've been talking about prayer. Anybody fed up with prayer yet? Okay. I've taught this many times and so on. And so not that I'm getting tired of prayer, no doubt about it, but I hope you're not getting tired of hearing about it. But prayer is so important, is it not? And Lord knows you and I need to be a praying people. Amen. We've been talking about prayer, and we've been talking about the purposes of prayer. And in Matthew chapter number 6, in a moment, we're going to get to there. But as you well know, two purposes of prayer that I've been focusing on is, number one is one of the purposes why we as God's people need to pray is because the Lord has mandated us to pray. It's a mandate. We've been mandated to pray. The Lord wants us to pray. Amen. The Lord knows what we need. And we need to be a praying people, no doubt about it. And we've heard many, many verses from the Lord Jesus and from the Apostle Paul, and especially, if you will, in reference to prayer, about keep on praying. Amen. We also talked about not only is prayer a mandate, but prayer is a means. And that's why we're mandated to pray. You and I, if we're going to get what God has for us, we need to be praying people. Amen. And we talked about James 4:2. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Amen. And so I don't want to lack what I need all because I didn't ask for it. Amen. And so may we be people who recognize, number one, our needs so that we can ask the Lord for help, amen, and for whatever it is that we need. In fact, I think of just simply sitting through a service as the Word of God is preached, as I personally sit back down and hear the Word of God, and I come under conviction. Maybe, you know, the Lord's dealing with my heart about this, that, or the other thing. Well, that's a good opportunity at the end of that service to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, forgive me, but I'm asking you to help me maybe to do this or that or the other thing. Amen. And so prayer's a means. We talked about the fact that prayer is a means of salvation. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We talked about not only is it a means of salvation, it's a means of sanctification, which to you and I, it means that it's a means of us overcoming the enemies of our Christian life. In fact, we're going to talk probably about that this morning and in the morning service. You can't get away from talking about the enemy of the Christian because we live among the enemy. Amen. In fact, I live with the enemy. Amen. I heard preachers say, if it wasn't for people, the church would be great. Amen. I want to pastor a church where there's problems. Well, go ahead. You know, be like John the Baptist. Be that voice of one in the wilderness. Amen. Nobody there. By the way, did you ever hear about that Christian that got stranded on that island? You ever hear about that one? Yeah, this Christian gets stranded on the island. They finally catch up to him a couple years later, and he's got three tents on the island. You ever hear about this one? Oh, yeah. And so somebody said, well, what's going on here? He said, well, that tent right there, that's my house. And he said, that tent right there, that's my church. And somebody said, well, what about that other? He said, that's the old church I used to go to. And people, I just, you know, they got issues, you know what I mean? And so on. The fact of the matter is, amen, we're all problematic, amen. No doubt about it, amen. And so I need to overcome me. And I guarantee you I'm not going to overcome me by me. So I need his help. I need somebody outside of me. By the way, there is somebody in me now, thank God. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. In fact, by the Holy Spirit's power, we can overcome the flesh. And by the way, that's the only way we can overcome the flesh. When you read and study the book of Galatians, the whole emphasis is, look, there's a battle in every Christian. It's the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the key to overcoming the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And so on. And so we overcome the flesh. We overcome the devil, our adversary, no doubt about it. You and I, by the way, we're no match for the devil. We are no match for the devil. Never think that you are going to be able to take on the devil by yourself. Amen. In and of ourselves, we can't do it. But he's no match for our Lord. Amen? And that's the key. Amen? I'm not going to fight the devil on my own. Please, I don't want to do that. I will get beat up. Amen? No doubt about it. But if I allow the Lord, somebody said, when the devil knocks on your door, let the Lord answer it. Don't you answer it. Amen? So we got to fight the flesh. We got to fight the devil. And we got to fight this world that we live in. We really do. This world is a different life system than you and I as Christians. We have a different philosophy of life, amen? And by the way, this world's philosophies, they really can creep into our life. They really can. They can creep into our hearts. They can creep into our homes. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, we find ourselves being influenced and persuaded by the unsaved world around us. We all have to be careful of that. It's very, very tricky, amen? We're encouraged, as you well know, in Psalm 1, to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, amen? And so you and I have to be real, real careful, amen? We're in the world, but we're not of the world, amen? Yet we know many, many good Christians have been influenced, yea, have been ruined by this world, amen? No doubt about it. Might we get like to the song, like the songwriter said, take the world, but give me Jesus, amen? So prayer is a key. Staying in constant contact with the Lord. Amen. That's what we need if we're going to be a sanctified people, if we're going to be the kind of people God wants us to be. We also talked about the fact that prayer is a means of consolation. Prayer is a means of encouragement. Prayer is a means of strength and hope. Amen. You and I cannot bear the burdens and pressures of life on our own. They are too, I think of what the psalmist said, I think it might have been Psalm 18, that his enemies were too strong for him. And might I say, our burdens as Christians are too heavy for us to carry. In fact, as we talked about this, we talked about a lot of songs we sing. And one of those songs was, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. And that's one of the things that we have to do. And that's what prayer allows us to do. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Psalm 55, verse number 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall hold you up. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. We can be moved by the burdens of life. There's no doubt about that. Amen. And so when we are weighed down in our hearts and our minds, when our hearts are overwhelmed, like David said in Psalm 61, when our hearts are overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, amen? And might I add, stronger than I, wiser than I, amen? And you can add so much more on there, amen? And so prayer's a key. You know, why pay a psychiatrist the hundreds of dollars to make yourself feel good? Can I get a witness on that one? That's my first witness this morning. It's 10 o'clock. But nonetheless, people pay a psychiatrist just to basically listen to them. They pour it all out and they feel good that they're talking to somebody about it. I know a wonderful counselor who will listen to you and I, and we can feel good without having to pay anything. Maybe the price of admission to prayer. That's about it. Amen. And so we talked about that. Now, last week we talked about from Matthew chapter number 6, as we've been getting in a little bit into the Lord's prayer, as we call it the Lord's prayer, but we know it's not the Lord's prayer, and we won't get into that. But nonetheless, look at Matthew 6, beginning in verse number 9, as the Lord instructed the disciples. The disciples wanted to know how to pray, and the Lord gave them instructions on how to pray, some of the things they need to keep in mind. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father. It's amazing. The first thing he says is, when you pray, make sure you understand who you're praying to. It wasn't Saint so-and-so. Amen. It wasn't Mother Mary. Amen. It's Father God. Amen. Our Father. He says, make sure you realize you're addressing the Father. Amen. And by the way, there's no gender identification crises there. He is not a shim. Amen. I mean, this world is confused, and there's no doubt about that. I was in a hospital. I had to use a restroom, and they wanted to show their bravery. So they put next to what used to be, I guess, a man symbol or a lady symbol, this restroom, because it's a single restroom, this restroom can be used by all genders. And I thought to myself, that's wonderful. You mean both genders can actually use this thing? I don't think that's what they meant. You understand what I'm saying? LGBTQ. You know what the Q's on there for? Questioning. They don't know what they are. Hello? We are living in such a confused society. Why? They've rejected God. They've rejected God's word. They've rejected. You reject God and you reject his word. You reject light. You reject light. Let me tell you where you live. You live in darkness. And you know what's in darkness? Confusion. Amen. And that's what we have nowadays. And they're pushing more and more for the confusion. Amen. But anyway, that got me a little upset about the bathroom thing. I had to get that off my chest. I feel better now. I feel better. So what he said, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven. By the way, he's not stuck in heaven. According to the scriptures, our God fills both heaven and earth. According to what Solomon said in his prayer, he said that the heavens of the heavens cannot contain thee. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. Why is it he's our heavenly father? He's our spiritual daddy. We have earthly fathers, but he's our spiritual heavenly father, no doubt about it. So make sure you pray to our Father which art in heaven, recognize hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. His name is above all names. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. And by the fact, it's even above the name of Mary. I don't understand how people can think that you can pray to Mary or any other so-called saint. God, there's a verse in Revelation, I'm thinking 15:4, I could be wrong. Only thou art holy, it says about God. Now, some people get confused. Well, hold on a minute. How can I be holy if I'm told to be holy? There's a different holiness when it comes to God. Holiness in reference to God's people, it's becoming more and more what God wants us to be. But the word holy means separate, set above, set apart from everybody and everything. How is God only holy? How is it that he'll, what attributes of God make him? There's nobody like him. I can give you three of them. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. Nobody else does. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere one time. Nobody else is. And then he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. What does that mean? That means this. Does Mary fit the category? Mary's not everywhere. So what does that mean? If the people in Mexico that are praying, the people that are in a lot of those foreign places that are Catholic communities, and then people here in the United States are praying. They're praying to who? They're praying to Mary. Hold on a minute. Mary's not omnipotent. She's not omnipresent. She's not. She don't know and hear everybody's prayers. Only God has those attributes. Only God. And that knocks everybody else down. Amen. He's above all gods. If you don't believe that, read the book of Exodus. Because in the book of Exodus, when God says to Moses, I want you to go in there to Pharaoh, Egypt had multitudes and multitudes of God. And all the plagues that God was sending was against their gods. And he was showing to not only Israel, but he was showing to Egypt that he's above every god. You know what's amazing? Now, I'm getting off course here, but that's all right. What's amazing is, he's above all gods. When you find Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts chapter 17, you find him going to Mars Hill. How many people remember Mars Hill? Mars Hill was where they had statues and idols to every god they could think of. And then the only true God had one statue, but guess what it was? It was to the unknown God. You say, how do you know that was to God? Because Paul said, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about him. He's the one, in fact, I quoted earlier, he's the one that in him you live and move and have your being. You got all these so-called recognizable gods, but yet the only unrecognized God is the true God. Isn't that true today? Amen. I'm getting a little too pumped up this early. It's too early. I can't do that. I got to calm down. And I've cut down on my decaf, by the way. Anyway, so look at verse number 10 of Matthew 6. We're in what we call the Lord's Prayer. His instructions to you and I as his disciples on if you will, some of the ingredients of prayer. Remember, you're praying to your Father. Remember, he's holy. Verse number 10, thy kingdom come. Thank God. Keep in mind when you pray, his kingdom is coming. When you're praying in a difficult, tough circumstance and situation, keeping this in mind realizes, you know what? Like we sang earlier, this world is not our home. We're not stuck here. Amen. Isn't it good to know that his kingdom's coming? You see, what does that mean? That means his kingdom, if it's going to come, the king's got to come. And for the church, we know before the king comes to establish Israel's kingdom, he's going to get us out of here. Amen? And so it's a wonderful thing. When he comes to earth, he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He's going to rule and reign on earth. I mentioned it last week in Sunday school. One of the reasons the millennial kingdom is going to be so great is because Jesus is going to be in control. Right now, the devil's in control of this world. He's the God of this world. And right now, man is in control. Man is getting what they want. And one of the worst things that can happen to anybody is for us to get what we want. Even God's people. One of the worst things. You know, the nation of Israel, they wanted a king like every other nation. We want to be like them. We want a king like every other. And God, as a matter of fact, Samuel got upset. And Samuel said, hold on, what are you talking about? God's your king. And Samuel went to the Lord, and the Lord said, look, give them what they want. But I want you to warn them. Tell them he's going to take, he's going to take, he's going to take. When you read that text, he says, look, when you get your king, he's going to take. It's going to cost you. And that's exactly what happened. Amen. And by the way, God gave them what they wanted. And God gave them the kind of king they wanted. They wanted somebody big and strong like the other kings. And they got Saul. And though he was big and strong, he had no heart for God. And what a tragedy for the nation it was. Amen. He gave them what they wanted. In Psalms, I think 106, it says, but he sent leanness, emptiness into their soul. Remember, they wanted meat. And he gave meat till they're full, until they got sick. We all got to be careful as believers that we don't get what we want. Amen. In fact, that's why I pray, God, help my wanter. Help me to want what you want. Amen. See, I think they that delight themselves in the Lord, I believe God gives them the desires of their heart. But when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, your heart's going to be right. Amen. And your desires are going to be right. But anyway, let's pick up in verse number 11. One of the things prayer is a means of, as we talked about this last week in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We need to pray for God's provisions for ourselves, for our family, and even for our church. We need to be praying for God's provisions. Amen. And you know this, if you're like me, you take things for granted. Who needs to pray for food when you got a refrigerator full? Who needs to pray for money when you got a few dollars in the bank? What I'm saying to you is, don't make it to where you got to get to where God has to dry it up before you recognize, you know, I'm so thankful that you provide for me. Amen. We need to daily. And if you don't have to ask for something, thank God you have it. Thank God for what you have. Trust God for what you need. And don't forsake God for what you want. Amen. And so that's some of the things. Prayer is a part of getting what we need. Amen. I want you to look. I don't want to get off on that. But look at verse number 12. Let's pick up. We talked about this last week, verse number 12. And I'm reiterating some things. Again, if you're fed up, please eat a little more. I don't know about you. I can eat pizza a lot. Anybody like pizza? Okay. I don't say, oh, we're having pizza again. I'm like, good. Amen. I'm fed up with this. Verse number 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Last week, we really focused on this in Sunday school. Prayer is a means of confession. And we talked about that, having some good, hearty confession. Amen. We talked about life, David's life. We talked about his commission, his confession, and celebration. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He can forgive us. He's just. He can do that. Why? Because he's paid for our sins. Amen. He can forgive us of our sin and of all of our unrighteousness. Now, the next thing I want us to note about prayer, it's not only a means of confession, but look at verse number, I think we're going to look at verse number 13, because I just want to take just a portion of this. He says this, and lead us not into temptation. I believe that prayer is a means of direction. See, he's praying here for the Lord not to lead him into temptation. But you and I can also pray for the Lord to lead us in the right paths. Amen. In fact, I'll be honest with you. We need to always seek God's will on which way to go. Amen. Because if the devil would give it to you, he'll say, go that away. Anybody remember that with the Three Stooges? Which way did he go? He went that away. That's called confusion. Amen. I don't know about you, but for some reason, when I'm looking to buy a house, nothing comes up, and then all of a sudden, three come up at one time. You're looking for that. You know, it's almost like we want the Lord's direction in life. Amen. And by the way, might I say we need his direction in life. Let me quote a psalm for you so you don't have to turn there. But Psalm 27:11 says this. The psalmist said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." See, the psalmist prayed for God's leading. Lead me in a plain path. If you want God's will, then you need to pray for God's direction and God's leading. And I believe that if you pray and seek God's will, he'll lead you. He'll lead you not. You say, I have an example, I think, of that. I believe, by the way, most of the mandates, apart from the Lord Jesus I mentioned earlier, came from Paul the Apostle. He's the one that wrote "Pray Without Ceasing" and Ephesians about, you know, praying all prayer. But Paul was a prayer warrior. You know that. You know Paul prayed for God's will, amen, and for God's leading and for God's direction. But yet we find Paul saying, "I'm going to go this way" in Acts chapter 16. "I'm going to go this way." And what happened? The Lord said, "No." He said, "Okay, I'm going to go this way." And the Spirit suffered him not. He'll lead you not. If that's part of God's leading. Part of God's leading is, "Lord, I want your will. Father, what should I do? What door should I take?" Part of the leading is you may think to yourself, "Well, I'll try this door," and you go to try it and it's locked. You know what that tells me? That's not the Lord's leading that way. But there's nothing wrong with trying. I tell people this, when trying to find God's will, try the door, don't pry the door. Do you know what can happen, right? In the flesh, you can want something to be God's will. "I know it's God's will for me to get this or get that." And you go try the door to see if God's in it, and it's a little bit tight. So you whip out your crowbar. You say, "I know God's in it." Can I get a witness on that one? Paul the apostle sought the leading of the Lord, and when he went to do something, God said, "No, not that way. No, not that way." Now, every no led to this way, the Macedonian call, Acts 16. He went, tried to go here, didn't have him. He tried to go here, didn't have him. All of a sudden, he has a vision. A man of Macedonia says, "Come over and help us." After all of that, Paul said, "We assuredly gathered. The Lord was calling us to go in that direction." Amen? And that's what you and I need to do. We need to be a praying people. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Where wilt thou have me to go?" Why? I want God's will. I want God's will. The best place that anybody could ever live is in the will of God. Amen? And that is something that we have to pray for. Can I give you another verse here that refers to praying? In fact, there are times when people will ask me to pray for them, and I'll give them this verse, and I'll say, "Look, here's a verse that's a good verse to pray when you're trying to find God's will." Psalm 143, you don't have to turn it because I'll read it for you, but Psalm 143, verse 8, part B says this, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." What the psalmist is saying, he's saying, "Lord, I'm lifting my soul, my heart. I'm sincere about this. I really want to know. Lord, I need you to cause me to know." Now that statement, "cause me to know," that's pretty wide. In other words, you're just saying, "Lord, use circumstances, use people, whatever you got to do, help me to know the way you'd have me to go." Amen. The way you'd have me to walk. Why? Why in the world do I need to seek God's will? I want you to turn with me. We are going to turn to another portion of Scripture. Would you turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 10? Jeremiah chapter 10. We need to be a praying people, praying for God's leading, praying for God's direction, praying for God's guidance. Why do I need that? Because look, if I go a certain way and I believe the Lord opened the door and I believe the Lord led me that way. By the way, every time God leads you somewhere doesn't mean that it's easy. God may lead you into a circumstance or a situation and you find yourself in a battle. Then all of a sudden you're supposed to hold on a minute. This difficult situation must be that I'm out of God's will. No, that's not always the case. When the Lord led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, do you know what he did? He took them the way of the Red Sea. Do you know there was another way that they could have went? They could have went through the land of the Philistines. Do you know why God said, I'm not going to send them through the land of the Philistines? He said, because the Philistines would want to battle against them and they would probably get fearful and go back to Egypt. Yet, he said, I'm not going to send them that way. See, these people were slaves. They weren't used to fighting. They weren't warriors yet. He said, I'm going to send them this way to the Red Sea, which is still a battle, but they're not battling these people. So what did most of them say when they got to that battle situation, when they got to that Red Sea? Moses, you brought us out here that we might die in the wilderness. There probably wasn't enough graves in Egypt. What happened? They got into a difficult situation. Then they questioned, man, are we in God's will here? We saw God do mighty miracles in Egypt in such a way to open up the door for us to get out of there. We didn't doubt it, if you will. And all of a sudden we get to a circumstance where we got difficulty. Now we're wondering, am I in the will of God? Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 10, if you would, please. Jeremiah chapter number 10. And you know what? I'm going to ask you to do me another favor. Would you go to Proverbs chapter 20? Yeah, Proverbs chapter 20 as well. Because I just want to look at these two verses and just give you just some thoughts here. Here's why I believe that you and I need to really seek the Lord's direction for our life. And it's so important. I think it's really, really important to seek the Lord's direction, especially in major matters of life, amen, that will be decisions for you that'll last for a long time. Proverbs chapter 20 as well, if you would. And now we'll look at Jeremiah first, and then we'll look at Proverbs 20 in a moment. Two verses that really, I think, express to you and I, here's why we need to seek God's guidance and direction for our lives. Jeremiah chapter number 10. Would you look at verse number 23? Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23. Look what Jeremiah says. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Might I say this in reference to that verse? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. By the way, somebody said this, so are the stops of a good man. Amen. There are many times when situations come where God has to stop somebody somewhere and they have to go through what they have to go through to get what God wants to be. Hey, listen, don't you think that Potiphar's house was God's will for Joseph? If I was Joseph, I might have wondered. You think the prison was God's will for Joseph? God was doing something. God was doing something, preparing him for even greater things. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter number 20 and look with me in verse number 24. Proverbs 20, 24. I'm looking at 21, 24 thinking that's not it. But 20, 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And that's the point. All we like sheep. I mean, sheep need a leader. Sheep need a shepherd. Amen. And that's exactly what you and I need to seek our shepherd's guidance and direction in things. There's a great illustration in the Bible. And it's found. Matter of fact, turn here because we'll probably close with this. I have more to say, but I can't shift gears. If I shift gears, this next road is a few miles and we don't have a few miles to go. So anyway, I'm trying to use analogy of truck driving. But look with me, if you would, in Genesis 24, and we'll close with this. But you see the importance of praying for God's direction? Hey, if you're single and if you're young and single and like to mingle, you might want to pray for God's guidance and direction on who to connect with. Amen. I think it's important. It really is. And I think you will too. It's important. You know, Lord, what school do I go to? What do I, you know? And so seek the Lord. Look at Genesis chapter 24 and just a couple verses. Genesis 24 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. It is a long chapter. It's 67 verses. It's a long chapter, but it is a great chapter. It's a chapter where Abraham is concerned about his son Isaac. He's concerned about getting a bride for Isaac. He doesn't want Isaac to marry any of the Canaanite women of that land. He wants him to marry somebody from his own family. And so Abraham, what he does in the first portion of this, he gets his servant. The servant is unnamed in this chapter. I believe the servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the chapter. Abraham's a picture of God the Father, obviously. Isaac's a picture of God the Son. The servant, we believe we know who his name is, but he's not mentioned in here. And that's a great picture of the Holy Spirit, because in this dispensation, when he's looking for a bride for Isaac, for Jesus, he's not the key, if you will, in reference to glorifying his name. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will glorify the Lord's name in the gathering, if you will. That's why I got issues with people that glorify the Holy Spirit in many of the services that they have. Amen. But anyway, nonetheless, so Abraham says, listen, I'm getting old. My son Isaac needs a bride. He said to his servant, I want you to swear to me, you'll not give him a bride, you'll not take a bride of the Canaanite people, but that you'll go back to Mesopotamia and you'll get a bride from among our family. And so this servant promised that he'll go and find a bride and so on. And one day I'd like to preach through this and talk about how it's just a great picture of many, many things. But I want you to note something about this servant. I believe we're going to note in verse number 10, if you would, please, in verse number 10. Genesis 24, look at verse number 10. And the servant took 10 camels, so he's going to depart and head for looking for this bride for Isaac, if you will. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. Verse number 12. And he said, and by the way, here's what we have. He said, in verse number 12, he begins to pray. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. You know what he's praying for? He's praying for God's direction, God's leading. Now, he knows generally where he's going, but he's praying for the specific woman that Isaac needs. Amen? And so he's praying for good speed, for God's blessing, if you will, in this. And he says, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And behold, he said, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, he says, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. The key verse is verse number 15. And it came to pass, now get this, before he had done speaking. Wouldn't you like answered prayer before you even done praying? Before he was done speaking, that behold, there it is, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel and so on. There we go, we got the answer. I say this, we need to pray for God's guidance and for God's direction and for God's leading. Amen? No doubt about it. Look at verse number 27. I want you to see something also, and we'll close with this. Verse 27. The servant is rehearsing what had happened in this prayer, an answered prayer. And notice what he says in verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. He said, I being in the way, the Lord what? Led me to the house of my master's brethren. That servant said this. He gave testimony. He said, listen, I being in the way, the Lord led me. What way? He was obedient to Abraham. Abraham told him to go that way, to go to that area. And he was doing what Abraham told him to do. And he knew, because he was being obedient, he was in the way. He was doing what God wanted him to do, what his master wanted him to do. God led him. Might I say this? Stay in the way. Stay in the path of obedience to the Lord. Perfect obedience, none of us have it. None of us can have it. We fall, we falter, we fail, we confess, we get up, we go on. That's staying in the way, by the way. Why? Many people get off the way. Many people get away from the Lord. And when you're away from the Lord, you lose that communication. And instead of walking in the light, you're walking in what? The darkness. It's hard to find direction in the dark. Ain't that the truth? Amen. And so my encouragement to you and I this morning is prayer's a key to God's direction, to God's leading. May we ever stay in tune with the Lord so that we can know when He says, turn not to the left, turn not to the right, keep on going straight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. I do pray that our hearts are encouraged just a little bit more. May these sessions and messages and lessons on prayer, may they encourage us to become, if we're not yet, a praying people. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless the morning service. Bring everyone who's coming, bring them on safely. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a good 20 minutes. Have some fellowship. Amen.